You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetters, and we are the beginning of week four for spring football 2021. Practice today was held out on the East Field, which means we are up high, exposed to the elements, and kind of cloudy, then sunny, cloudy and sunny when the wind kicks up. It gets a little cool down there, but spring game on Saturday, expecting, we'll see what kind of crowd we get, because it looks like early on in the week that they're projecting rain, so we'll see how that goes. But again, today, Chris, a lot of situational football.
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing, and I asked John Donovan about this, the media got a chance to talk to both the coordinators afterwards, and basically it's something that I think Lake likes to throw on these guys sometimes, because we always think that everything is scripted when they do their practices. Like, they have these, you know, these
They have a sheet.
They always have their sheets, and they always say, okay, we're going to do this period here, and then we're going to go do special teams, and then we're going to go have an individual drill, and then we're going to bring everyone back together and run stuff. And so it's this whole part-whole thing that we always kind of gotten used to with Chris Peterson. And Jimmy likes to do that, I think, at times, but then I think also he just is like, okay, that period's over. All right, situational. Here we go. The offense has got the ball. There's 2 minutes left. You're on the 40-yard line. You got one timeout, and you're down by three. Let's go. And he'll just throw these out there. Like, you know, I think they had the end of the drill on Saturday that the fans got to see, where it was like the one offense versus the two defense, the two offense versus the one defense. He did a little bit of that again today. And the offense, the number one offense, got pinned back at the 3 yard line. It was a great punt by Race Porter that Dominique Hampton down at the three. And basically, Dylan Morris took the ball from the three and was able to march it all the way down the field. Even though they were only down three, they were able to get a score on a Sean McGrew, like it was 8 yard run. But he was able to find like Jalen McMillan down the sideline for like 53 yards. I mean, There was some really good stuff, but that was very reminiscent of like the drive that they had against Utah, for instance.
No pads today, but I think today is one of the days where I think the focus was on the offense, Chris.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
It just seemed like the offense, there was more offensive plays that stood out today than the defense.
I think there was bigger plays. I think Jalen McMillan certainly had his best day, I think, by far, production-wise. He had a 60-yard touchdown throw from Patrick O'Brien that was basically like a 20-yard pass, and I think the defensive back just took a bad angle, and he was able to cut it upfield and basically go untouched. So a really, really good day for him. I thought some of the tight ends stood out again today. I think Quentin Moore had a really, really good day today. Obviously, Cade Otton steady.
It just seems like they know what they're going to get from Cade Otton. You know what you're going to get, but they're looking for guys to step up, and Quentin Moore is definitely the guy that's stood out. Is he listed at 6'6" and about 250?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good-sized target, and would it be fair to say that he may have the best hands in the tight end room?
He's showing himself to have really good hands. I don't think he has better hands than Cade Otton, but there were some situations there where O'Brien was thrown into the end zone and found him a couple different times. And then O'Brien tried to throw basically the same concept to Mark Redman, and he had the ball and he was able to catch it. But then Mickey Payette made a great job of batting the ball away, and that the defense just went nuts, because it was like Quentin Moore was making him look kind of bad. And then when they were able to get another guy in there and Mickey Payette was able to knock the ball away, it was the defense, they got all over it on that one. It was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Quentin Moore is definitely turning himself into a red zone threat. But then in addition, just being able to out physical and out jump guys in the red zone, he's doing a nice job of finding space underneath in the seams.
He is, and I think he's earning the trust of the quarterbacks. I mean, one of the touchdowns that Patrick O'Brien threw to Quentin Moore in the end zone was just a dart. I mean, it was just like they made the read, they saw it, they knew they could complete it, there was no hesitation, and it was a dart in the end zone, and Moore caught it without any issues, no bobbles, no snag. I mean, it was just a snag. So it was a good day by him for sure. John Donovan certainly mentioned him. John Donovan, he even mentioned Devin Culp as a guy he thinks has taken the next step in terms of the tight ends, as well as Mark Redman. So there were certainly some things that the offense for sure could take from today, and usually, and I think they could turn it into something, because as we've seen, the defense often has the upper hand in a lot of these practices. And even though they had a few interceptions today, it wasn't like they were super glaring. One of them was on a Hail Mary on the very, very last play of practice that Jacoby Covington caught. So it was overall, I'd say the offense had a much more equal day to the defense, because it wasn't like the defense didn't have defense had a poor day. I thought the defense had some really good moments as well.
One of the positions that we just haven't talked a lot about, for spring football has been the offensive line. They've just been steady, and, you know, compared to some of the other spring and fall ball camps that, you know, we've been involved with, not seen anywhere near the amount of holding penalties as we've had in the past. They've just been quietly steady all spring.
Yeah, well, there's no officials today, so they weren't necessarily calling penalties. Jimmy was calling penalties, and Jimmy had all sorts of penalties he wanted to call. So there's that to think about, too. But, yeah, with the offensive line, the only thing that's been super noticeable is not having Victor Kern out there. And he had his foot in a boot today, which I don't know if that's the first time I've seen that, but it was the first time I noticed it. And but he's out there. He's out there at every practice. And so it feels to me like it's a precautionary type thing. Same with JV on Sunday. He had his foot in a boot sometimes. So that was kind of interesting. That first time I had noticed that as well. The offensive line, I think, has been really steady because Kern has not been at right tackle. They've used, obviously, Mateo Mele has been playing a bunch with the ones, and they've moved Roger Rosengarten over there to get some reps with the twos. So, and Samuel Peacock is another guy that's getting reps at the twos and threes. Some of the battles are starting. I think they're getting more turns with, like, Nate Kaleppo with the ones at left guard, for instance. I noticed during one or two of the periods today that Julius Bulow was getting in, maybe with the ones a little bit from time to time at right guard instead of Henry Bainavalu. So I think they're mixing and matching some of these guys, because I had asked Coach Donovan after practice about the quarterbacks and whether or not they were getting more with the ones, or if that was a function of guys just taking advantage of their opportunities. And he said there's really no rhyme or reason to it. It's just they want to get certain guys on tape doing certain situations with certain packages and certain groups. And so you can say the same thing, Kim, about the offensive line, as well as like the receivers, for instance. I think there was some movement there as well.
Quarterbacks. It's interesting because I think it's really, really close. I think Dylan is probably penciled in as the starter right now, as the incumbent, and Patrick O'Brien is right there on his heels. And kind of an interesting moment, we had the offensive coordinator, John Donovan, post-practice, and I asked him if there was a scenario that he could see where he would play two quarterbacks, and classic reaction from John Donovan.
Well, I mean, you caught him off guard, clearly. So if for anyone that sees the official Go Huskies video of it, you'll probably see a nice little bleep out.
Or a cut.
Or a cut or something. But it wasn't anything. I mean, he just, it was just a gut reaction. It was kind of muttered under his breath, like, oh, man. It was like,
one of the seven words you can't say on television. Yeah.
S-H-I-T.
Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah.
Seriously, it won't get cut on ours. I mean, it's not a big deal at all. But, it is interesting when he did say that even though we've noticed that O'Brien's gotten more reps with the ones, it's not because it's necessarily a function of him taking advantage of his opportunities, which he said he has. The one thing that he pointed out was there's two things with O'Brien. First of all, you're never quite sure what you're going to get with getting a transfer in like that, a grad guy. But the other thing is that, you watch him on tape and you see him in certain situations, but you're not exactly sure what his demeanor is, what is like when he's actually in the heat of the battle. And he says, I know that Dylan Morris can handle the heat of the battle. I've seen it up close and personal. But with a guy like O'Brien, can he do that? And he goes, yeah, we saw it. and we're seeing it more and more. And so the comfort level, I think, with those guys when it comes to either one of those quarterbacks is just fine at this point. I think they'd go to war with either of them.
Is it me, or does O'Brien seem a little bit more efficient in the red zone?
I think he's shown a lot of efficiency in a lot of the areas. As far as I'm concerned, he's been more productive than Morris this spring. But I also don't – I'm not privy necessarily to what they're trying to do all the time. I've just noticed there have been some team situations where Morris has been three and out and O'Brien's been able to drive those guys to a field goal or a touchdown earlier in spring. So from that perspective, I think he's been more productive. I think they've also been very good in eliminating turnovers. So that part's been a positive for both of those guys. But still, when it comes down to it, they know what they've got in Dylan Morris. I mean, and again, that 97-yard drive today, I think it was 68 seconds on the clock, no timeouts. And, you know, he completes a pass out to Terrell Bynum. He completes a pass, I think, to Odunze. And then he finds McMillan all the way down the sideline with Elijah Jackson covering him. And then is able to just keep going. And that 97-yard drive, I think, like I said, 68 seconds on the clock, Kim, and I think they scored with 40 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, it was lightning fast. So, again, they know what they've got with Dylan Morris, and now it's the comfort level with Patrick O'Brien is clearly on the rise because of the reps that they're getting.
You know, standing next to Hugh, you know, Millen at practice today, and you know, when I saw the success, you know, that O'Brien was having in the red zone, I asked Hugh, you know, when you start getting down inside the 10 in the red zone and you're going to throw the football, does it matter if you're 6'5 or 6'1, you know, because things are getting tight? And he says, yeah, you can just see things more clearly. So maybe that has something to do with it. But, you know, we're not looking at the end zone cut. So, you know, but boy, the quarterback battle's going to, conversation is going to continue on for a while. Would you be surprised if we go into the final week without a starter being named?
I would, because I don't think Dylan Morris has done anything to lose the job.
Do you think you're going to see two quarterbacks play?
No, I think his reaction summed it up. They're not looking at it that way at all.
It was funny, by the way.
It was funny because you caught him off guard. Clearly, I mean, why would anyone think about two quarterbacks right now? I mean, they've.
Well, I think everybody in the media has been thinking about it.
I haven't.
Yeah.
No. I think there's two clear options at quarterback, and I don't think they necessarily have to mix them. There may be certain situations. They might try certain situations. I don't know. And I think that there's clearly an idea, Kim, that that's on the table, that they could maybe have a package for O'Brien or a package for maybe even a package for Sam Heward. You don't know at this point because there's so much going on. They've installed so much stuff. I asked John Donovan specifically about the mechanics of how they've been able to install all their stuff because he talked about how much inventory they have right now in offense compared to what they had last year through four games. And he goes, you know, the ability to double up the install periods, the ability to double up their reps during the team periods, you know, you've got everybody moving, everybody either taking a mental rep or a physical rep there, and it's fast. I think he said it has been huge for them, and we'll see how much it pays off in the fall. But I think so far, I think we could see how much, you know, how many turns and how many reps they've had. It's been noticeable.
We did have a chance to talk to John Donovan, and I thought one of the interesting things that he talked about was the running backs and, you know, where we saw them last year, you know, play quite a few running backs. John Donovan said, you know, they want to get into a couple of guys, and he specifically mentioned Cam Davis.
He mentioned Cameron Davis. He also mentioned Richard Newton.
Yeah.
You know, he also talked about Sean McGrew and Kamari Pleasant being those steady guys that they know all about and that they can go to any time. But definitely Cameron Davis and Richard Newton were the guys that stood out today. And it seems like, and again, I'm sure they'd correct me on this, but it sure feels like every time a team period comes and it's a one-on-ones, for instance, or even a ones versus twos, whenever the one running back comes out, it almost seems to be Cameron Davis, almost like every time now. So it seems to me they're giving him every opportunity to win that job, and he's done a nice job with it so far. And again, Donovan singled him out as a guy who's really stepped up and taken advantage of his chances.
Well, third down on passing downs last year, we saw quite a bit of Cam Davis, you know, and he proved to be probably have the best hands of the running backs, but we just haven't seen a lot of balls thrown to the running backs this spring.
We haven't necessarily seen a ton of them, but I would say that Kamari Pleasant has great hands. I haven't really seen a guy that doesn't have good hands in that room. I think those two guys probably have better hands than the others. But we'll see what happens. I mean, no JV on Sunday today because of the foot in the boot. It certainly looked like Caleb Berry was limited because he was on the bike a bit. So that I think they really focused on, you know, McGrew, Pleasant, Davis, and Newton as kind of the guys during their situations.
On the other side of the ball, we had a chance to talk to the defensive coordinator, Bob Gregory, who's, you know, I think he's real happy with Ryan Bowman, but he talked a little bit about the linebackers too, which I thought was interesting.
Well, he did, and we noted that, you know, we asked him kind of with Eddie, you know, kind of going outside sometimes, and he did that with Josh Calvert on Saturday, maybe even Friday and Saturday. Was there a move towards maybe trying to get those guys a little bit more involved and maybe staying on the field and doing more and showing more? Because the more things you can show, now all of a sudden if an opposing offense is all of a sudden seeing Eddie Ulofosio at inside linebacker and then he's moving down to the line and he's playing out on the edge, now all of a sudden that's a wrinkle you wouldn't have seen last year, for instance. And he said, no, it's more of a function of just the limited numbers at outside linebacker. When you don't have Zion, Tupou Fatui, obviously Liatu Latu is not there. Savelle Smalls was back today, which was good. I couldn't tell to see exactly how super involved he was in the team stuff, even though they didn't run live at all today. I mean, it was all thud tempo, rap tempo. But he was out there running around, had his helmet on, doing his thing, so that was good. Braylon Trice had a phenomenal interception of Heward, kind of in that drop back zone thing that Jeremiah Martin did when he picked.
And Bob Gregory also mentioned Braylon Trice as one of the guys who's really standing.
He's mentioned Braylon Trice. He mentioned both Cameron Williams and Cab Fabikulainen as the two Cams, as he calls them, that have really stepped up and done some really nice things so far. And then he also has been super pleased with the interior guys, with Thule and Taki specifically. But then he also mentioned the freshmen. I noticed in a couple of the team periods with the ones where Kuapehopa was able to get in and get some work done. And remember, he's a guy that came in during winter. So he's a little bit further ahead than Voi Tanufi right now. But both those guys have had really good springs. They've been ever present. They've been to every practice. They've gotten their work in. And to me, it looks like Kua, they really like what he's done. And sometimes when they're running those 50 fronts or they're running those kind of those odd fronts where they have the multiple defensive linemen, you'll see Tulian Taki being the mainstays, but Fatui Tuatele will be in there. Jacob Bandis might be in there a little bit. But then they've also put in Kuapehopa. They put in Voi Tanufi. They put in Noah Ngalu, who had a sack during the team period where Coach Lake came unglued. We can talk a little bit about that if you want to, but that was interesting to watch. But so I think the defensive line in general, I think, has had a very solid practice and very solid spring overall.
Yeah, with Asa Turner out again today, and he's been in and out quite a bit this spring.
Alex Cook.
Yeah, you're getting a chance to see quite a bit of Julius Irvin and Jacoby Covington. And Jacoby Covington's going to be a player at some point. I don't know if he's going to get as many opportunities this year, but at some point, that guy's going to be a player.
Well, you know, one of the things that Bob Gregory talked about was position versatility, and that was one of the things he talked about with guys like Ulofosio and Calvert going down to the outside linebacker to help with the numbers at times. But Jacoby Covington is a guy that worked a lot outside at cornerback today, for instance. He was locking guys down outside. And so I asked Gregory specifically, I mean, are you guys still searching for a position for him? And they said, kind of, but at the same time, if we can get film down on all of those positions, and he's learning all those, the position versatility is going to enable him to play.
Yeah,
it's going to get him on the field. And so those guys, you know, if they find a way to find to get on the field, they're going to do whatever it takes. And he's certainly one of those guys that has shown it. Fabikulainen is another one of those guys. You mentioned Julius Irvin. He's another one of those guys. I thought it was interesting, though, because, Dominique Campton, Cam Williams were usually kind of at the one safeties when you didn't have either Cook or Turner available today. And then But again, I think like Pookie Radley-Hiles at the nickel with Fabikulainen, those guys are making plays. They're showing up. The freshman corners, Jackson, and I know he got toasted on the one play, the double move by McMillan. But both him and Smith, I guess they've been very consistent all camp and have shown up. Big bodies. I mean, they're just big dudes who I think are going to continue to get bigger, stronger, faster.
You know, it's interesting to watch the practices, and you can just see some of the guys that have that veteran in them. They just seem to have a little bit of swagger. They play with a different speed. They know what they're doing. And the guy who, me, just seems to have really grown up in that way is Cam Williams. I think Cam Williams has had an outstanding camp.
He's had an outstanding camp for sure. Nope, he's done a really good job. I know a lot of people were wondering because he really started out with a flash 2 years ago. I mean, he came in as a true freshman, started right away, and then he kind of leveled off, and then he didn't really kind of build off that last year, didn't really flash in terms of one of the safeties in 2020. So I think the question for him was he kind of stuck in a no man's land? Was he kind of in limbo?
Did he peak?
Was he there? Well, I don't know if he had peaked so much, but had he plateaued a little bit in terms of did he need to step it up to go to another level? And I think he has for sure. Again, Gregory singled him out today, and when they've looked to him, and again, I think it helps when they don't have Turner and they don't have Cook. It makes it a lot easier for those guys to get a lot more reps and to get noticed. And he's certainly one of the guys that's gotten noticed. Hampton's obviously been very consistent all spring. And I think Julius Irvin was a guy that stepped up a little bit today and showed some things.
Yeah, no. And that secondary, I mean, there's going to be a lot of battles there. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if these guys are locked into playing the entire game and how much rotation we're going to see in that defensive secondary, because there's just so many guys.
Well, yeah, and Mekhi Pei, I mentioned that he got the pick off of Taj Davis when Taj Davis tipped it and he was able to catch it before going out of bounds. That was a really athletic play by Mekhi Pei, and I remember seeing Mekhi Pei when he was the defensive MVP of the Polynesian Bowl, and he was good even back then. And I was thinking, God, Washington's got a chance to get him as a walk on. It's like back to back defensive MVPs with him and then Haymuli the year before. So they've been able to get some really good work done, and he showed his worth trying to go up against those tight ends where Moore was able to get a tight end catch with him in the end zone, and then he was able to come right back and deny Mark Redmond a catch in the end zone on basically the same route, same concept. And so, you know, all those guys are battling, because we haven't really talked much about Mekhi Pei, for instance. When we talk about the walk-on guys, we've been talking about Mish Powell. We've been talking about Kaysen Kinchin. And Kaysen was out on Saturday, but he came back and he played on Monday. So they're back to full strength, and except for the safeties, obviously. But, yeah, like you said, Kim, I think all those guys have done a great job. They've been very competitive, and it's only going to add – their position versatility is only going to add to their value as they go forward.
Michelle Powell is a walk-on.
Yeah.
He could start for teams in this conference.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't think you'd get any argument from Lake or Harris on that.
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure. I mean, I'd have to go back and look and see what other teams have, but they have no qualms about throwing those walk-ons out there with the first teams. They haven't. With Trent McDuffie getting less and less reps, just kind of knowing what they have with him, he has been the one that's been able to take advantage of those reps. It's been Mish Powell and it's been Kyler Gordon at the main corners at the number ones.
Have you seen Trent McDuffie really, I mean, as good as he is?
He's been out there. He's been running around doing his business, but they haven't really asked him to do a ton of stuff with the ones and stuff with the teamwork.
And they don't throw his way.
Well, when he's been in there, no, not really. But I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a function of him being out there.
Yeah, no.
I think that's more of a function of him not necessarily. He like I said, it's when they've been running with the ones. Typically, it's been Powell and it's been Gordon. It hasn't been McDuffie.
Yeah.
So I mean, if they want to throw him out there, I mean, we could find out what it's like, but I think everyone already kind of knows what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the elite corners in the country, so
yeah,
they know what they're getting from Trent.
I don't think there's going to be a problem there.
Yeah, no.
But he, I mean, for all we know, he may be nursing something. I don't know, but he's out there every day. He's doing his individual work. He doesn't look like he's hurt. Doesn't look like he's dinged up.
He's catching punts.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing what you'd expect him to do, but. Maybe the point was trying to give him a little bit of a breather in spring. I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't know.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So, anything else we need to cover, Chris?
No, I just again, I thought it was a really telling comment by Coach Donovan about how Jimmy just likes to throw them curveballs and just likes. I think I'm going to write about this. I think a little bit later today, but just this idea that you know, you think these situations are scripted, and all of a sudden it's like. No, it's like it may be scripted that you're going to have a team situational period, but you may not know what the situation is going to be. So not only as a player are you having to react to it and play to what the situation requires, but also think about the coaches and think about what they're doing. Like I asked Donovan, because we see Donovan usually 15, 20 yards away from the huddle. He's nowhere near those guys. So you would expect them to be having more conversations with the coaches to try to figure out what the plays are and all that kind of stuff. He's way far away from it. He's letting Huff and he's letting Bonifa and Junior Adams and Durham Cato, he's letting those guys really react more to what's going on with their position groups because he's trying to call the plays. And he is as caught off guard by the situation as anything. So now all of a sudden he's got to go, okay, am I in 2-minute mode here or am I in 4-minute mode? How many timeouts have I been given? You know, what is our end goal here? And so in some of the periods, it was like one of the periods was a 4-minute period. And so they were literally practicing Dylan Morris taking the snap and then running around for like 5 or 6 seconds before getting touched to allow them to eventually get into victory formation. And you kind of think, well, these are all situational stuff. So it's just kind of taken for granted. But you got to work these things. You've actually got to figure it out. And not only do the players have to execute it and make sure that they're on that same page, but the coaches also have to do the math. And they have to figure out what time do they have to get to before they can actually get into the victory formation. So they have to figure out, okay, do we run this live for like 5 seconds? Can we run it live for 3 seconds? Can we run it live for 8 seconds? What can we actually get accomplished here? And Donovan looked like he really relishes it, but at the same time, he's kind of like, damn. You know, it's like, what? I have no idea what he's going to throw it to me. So it's much of a mental test as it is kind of a function of how he would actually have to react as a play caller if the situation comes at some point like this fall, for instance.
And when they were running the run out the clock drill, did you hear Mr. Millen? Did you hear Hugh?
No.
He had flashbacks to that Arizona game.
He
got all pissed off.
Yeah, again. He was talking about the Arizona game with Peterson at Arizona where they lost because they lost track of the clock. And then Peterson went – he kind of defended his sheet that they have for like what they would call and stuff. And how they got it wrong, but it does.
Millen got all fired up again.
But it comes back to those situations, Kim, and it's exactly why they drill these things over and over, because you don't want to get caught with your pants down in that situation because they lost the game because of that.
Yeah.
And you cannot lose a game because of that situation. And it's like, and I go back to the thing I referenced with, so O'Brien was there with the twos. And they were in a situation where they were trying to get down the field. So I think they were down 3 so they could kick a field goal, what have you. He steps back and goes to pass. And again, they've got like no timeouts or anything. So they're in a situation where they got to clock the ball if something happens and if it's live. He got sacked by Noah Ngalu. And it was like a eight yard sack. So he's trying to be able to clock the ball, get everybody set. And I think it was Cam Davis and Jalen Polk who were not able to get back to the line of scrimmage before he clocked the ball. So they added another penalty on top of it. And when Lake saw that happen, he just came unglued. And it was probably the first time I've seen all spring where he lit into those guys for about 15 seconds. And he just said, that's unacceptable. And he obviously used a few other choice words that I won't repeat here.
Yeah, no.
But he was livid. I mean, absolutely livid. And those are the kinds of things that you have to keep drilling over and over because those are what cost you games.
wide receivers just kind of jogging back with no giddy up in their step, and they weren't set.
They clearly weren't focused on the situation. Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't understand what was going on there. Maybe you just have to be in Husky Stadium with a stadium packed full of people, maybe to get the point across when they're booing at you or they're doing something if you screw up. But yeah, it was weird. It was weird to see that they weren't all on the same page. And when it happened, he let them know. I mean, he let them know in no uncertain terms that was absolutely ridiculous.
We have a practice on Wednesday, full practice on Wednesday. Friday's practice, it sounds like it's going to be cut short.
Same thing as it's been the last two Fridays.
We're not going to cover that, though.
We won't cover it because there's no media availability afterward.
Yeah.
So they were saying that there's no, I mean, you know, media didn't have practice on Friday if they didn't want to go. We can go watch it, which it sounds like we'll probably go and watch it to at least cover what we can see. But there won't be any conversations with the coaches or players afterwards.
My gut says it's going to be a lot of walkthrough stuff in short practice.
It will be in some ways. Now, again, the last two Fridays have been kind of prelude to the scrimmages that have been open to the public, right, where they've been full pads. So the Friday practice, I doubt, will be a pads practice. Again, like you said, it will be probably a lot more just, again, some situational stuff, but mostly just trying to clean up some things ahead of spring game, because obviously they want to show out, you know, on that Saturday. And so I wouldn't expect a ton of work. And if they go 90 minutes, I'd be surprised. I probably would imagine they might even go a little bit less than that.
And then Saturday, spring game. Right now, looking forward to the forecast, I'm seeing 40% chance of rain.
Is it 12, 12:30? When is it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, you know, Seattle, the weather forecast can change tomorrow, so we will see. But anything else, Chris, did I miss?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Again, a good day for the offense, was able to take advantage of certain situations. I think the quarterback situation right now is good. I think it's really good. I think Donovan's very, very pleased with that. I think he's also pleased with the way some of the running backs have stepped up and done some things, and as well as the receivers. I think there's certain guys that really had big days today, and McMillan was right on top of it. So I know I've been critical of McMillan this spring and was wondering when the light might have gone on with him, and today may have been the day. I mean, it was a good day. Like I said, he had two catches of over 50 yards each and looked engaged, no drops that I can remember, and overall just had a really good day.
All right. Just a reminder, if you're looking for those daily updates as well as breaking news alert, just shoot us a note, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We will get you hooked up. Final week of spring ball. We'll be all over it at dogman.com. For all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters. Go Dogs.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount+, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.